Hi Vincent, I'm coming from you from a bus stop. They're advertising Singapore here, funny enough, that's not my bus. And yeah, this is London. This is what London looks like. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can hear you. They're advertising Singapore and this is London. How
Yeah.
long, what? I thought like you had some super deluxe bus stop area where you could sit with a laptop, but you're calling from the phone. Sort of
No, no. To
recycling.
be to be honest, the fact that I have my phone out and the cyclist buzzing me by shows you I have nerves of steel, because it's quite common to get your phone nicked here.
Yeah, well that was Saigon 5 years ago. I don't know. I mean, you guys
What did
going
they do
backwards.
to stop the crime in Saigon? Cut people's handle?
Well, I don't know. I'm not in District 1 anymore, but like, it's surprising to hear that London is like that. Belgium wasn't like that in 2006 when I left. To hear Europe being in a situation that Saigon, Vietnam, a third world country, is in,
Yeah,
6 years ago.
that's the theme that my wife and I joke about, because, like, for example, to our experience with building stuff here in England is like a third world type mentality. Like, you have to pay someone, you have to pay someone, you have to pay someone for this, you have to pay someone for that. You can't actually build. Yeah, so
Yeah.
that was too actually. So I just want to say that the conference yesterday was great, and I'm going to, there's only 2 more days of it. It's incredible. So I'm looking forward to that. And
2 more days?
yeah,
That's nice.
I went to an Anthropic talk, and I went to,
They just made a whole bunch of announcements at Anthropic.
yeah,
It's insane.
the it was a workshop, but it was more like a presentation. They would like. They were basically going through that blog that I think we kind of might have mentioned to each other,
Coding boxes.
the one about the harness, the one about the agent, adversarial agent, and the evaluator and things like
Oh yeah. Yeah, adversarial agents is the keyword now. I think I call it
Yeah.
adversarial, but it's adversarial, of course, like I've
Yeah. The other word that they kept on dropping, like it was hot, was rubric. Rubric, which I think I had to look it up, which means instruction. They call it rubric for some reason. Have you ever heard this expression or term?
No. What is it?
Rubric.
Rubric?
Yeah.
Not sure what that is.
But I thought I have a good idea how to now create my own harness, because I have like a quick start about that. So I have a good idea about creating something that can spend $100 and come up with a retro game maker or some other thing. So they equipped us how to spend a chunk of change. And then of course I mentioned, like, oh, what happens if it's going wrong? It's like, oh, you have trust issues. It sounds like your harness or your evaluator is not good enough or something.
And did you
Okay, here's
say,
my bus.
and you said, no, it's Cloud Code that gave me trust issues.
Hold on, I'm gonna mute myself. Yeah.
They're in the bus now.
I'm in the
Double
bus.
decker. Kick double deck.
I'm busy. I thought it would be empty this time around. God, I'm gonna be that guy on the bus talking. God, I hate those people. And the other talk that was really interesting was by Pedantic. I don't know if you ever used Pedantic.
Pedantic is a Python unit testing library or what? Or is it behavior testing?
I know it is like a schema manager, like a
Oh.
model manager.
Why is my
and
glasses so
tooling.
like they're super. Looks like somebody smashed me in the face and there's. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I mean, I thought you were gonna. Yeah, so you did the workshop. What else did you pick up from the hallway track or what they call it? I can hear you, but oh, it dropped. Well then. Well, we're waiting for Kai to get back. Let's talk about amazing Project Glasswing. I mispronounced it. Became embarrassing. Glasswing being a project that Anthropic announced with their latest, is it Mythos? Model. Basically identifying so many vulnerabilities.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back.
I was just talking about Project Glasswing and Mythos, and it's Mythos, right? The new model that Anthropic does not want to release until the internet has had the time to prepare.
There's definitely some hype about it, and the and
Is
during
it
the
just
Anthropic,
hype?
well, the Anthropic, like the crazy thing about the Anthropic talk was that he was like talking about the harnesses and the evaluator and the prompts that you would do, but then he warned that when Mythos comes out, this your harness would have to be updated, because you know Mythos is a lot better, so your harness would have to like focus on other things. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we're doing all this work, but like, once this new model comes out, it'll be able to do things better. So you just have to push yourself down the line a bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's this interesting talk. I think is it C Simon Wilson on his interview, but I think somebody else as well. They talked like our role right now is to Simon Wilson, Wilson. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He
Wilson, yeah.
definitely talks about keeping a backlog of projects that you try and then you see the AI cannot do and you put it on the backlog. Like you say, one day we'll be able to do it, and just keep going back and trying out those projects. So to keep feeling out like the boundaries as they are moving, as models are getting better, like where are we now? Where how far can we go? And to keep living on that, like they called it the border. There was I saw two different talks, YouTube presentations about what we can do, because I think the biggest problem is, which I think we mentioned before, is not realizing what the model can already do and still doing things that we should just hand off to the model. And I think, because like Anthropic announced two things, right? They announced this three things. They announced the Project Glasswing and the impact of that capabilities. Detecting decade-old 0 days inside foundational infrastructure in the internet would, create huge impact on the banking systems and the trust that we can have on. I mean, even if it's marketing from Anthropic, which I don't think it is, but you may assume it is a fact that these models like Opus, they're able to detect bugs and then practically 0 days, right? And if the bug bounty is not being awarded properly, these get sold in the black market, or state actors and hackers abuse these to, have real significant impact.
I've always had the thought that like AI agents, you can effectively organize botnets of agents nowadays, because that's all the rage, right?
I think it was quite expensive, but that's what Cloudbot is, right? I mean, the whole Cloudbook was basically a botnet, directed by people to simulate all kinds of stories. And then people are like, oh my God, these agents are planning a revolution. They're designing their own language. But that was one of the announcements, right? Basically, we're reaching a level of intelligence that it's rare amongst humans, and humans have that expert level capabilities are the ones that are able to basically hack into software, find 0 days. And I mean, I really enjoyed reading Phineas Hacker breakdown of how he hacks the hacking team, and how he built like a 0 day on a router that he knew, like a different an type of router device that they used, and he tried it his exploit against several other routers on the internet before he actually attacked the target. So this type of intelligence, there are humans that have it, and they are able to do it clearly. And if you put that in the wrong hands,
Makes me
it's going to
think
be insane.
Cloudflare is going to do well because they have all these security products to sort of stop agents at the moment.
It's not a bad observation. Yeah, I mean, any organization that is, I mean, Cloudflare is known for their extremely good DDoS protection and so on. Don't get started. Don't get me started on their UI skills. They're the worst. But they anyway. The second announcement was a product for agent. Like, I don't know. I haven't looked too much into it, but it sounds like hosted agent teams. So you can run or build agent teams now, or you can just have Anthropic host agent teams, which is sounds really super interesting.
I think the guy mentioned it yesterday, and they coordinate using the file system, I think he was saying. There's a lot going on with Anthropic. Maybe let
I mean, there's
me.
quite a few startups that are going and saying like, okay, Stripe published a markdown saying that this is our Minion agent system. We're not going to open source it, but if you take this markdown, you can build your own. And so I think there's a lot of startups that were built around that, saying like, oh, Stripe can build it, but not a lot of like medium-sized companies or small startups cannot build it. So there's definitely a need for a SaaS that provides this. And I believe that like if you're going to pay Anthropic for the module, then it might as well use Anthropic for the agent team if they provide a service, right? Why would you need to pay some third-party startup to pay to do agent orchestration? But another discussion that I had a lot with my friend, because I'm talking about, hey, this spectrum design is really good, but they're just going like, now you just need a single skill, you just need a brainstorm skill and Opus. And you don't need to go through this whole spec-driven design workflow anymore. You get like an interview experience where it asks you, what about this, what about that? Just a few key points that you want to clarify, and then it goes off and builds it. Like, you don't need all of that additional stuff anymore. And I think we're
So,
definitely going towards that.
have you do you know what I talk? Do you know what I mean when I have to share the slides with you? But do you know what I mean by an evaluator, an adversarial agent? Because, and I know since you do speculative and spectrum development, the way that they explained it is that the plan is very high level. And then the emphasis goes in the evaluator. So basically, in the evaluator stage, you put the effort. I mean, this is my interpretation, but my interpretation was that like your evaluator is basically where your spec now lives. It's because you're basically at the role where the product owner is basically, or the client or something is basically evaluating what was built. So now you have to make sure the evaluator has, I guess, your requirements and your expectations all there, so that it can evaluate the build stage. Does that make
Yeah,
sense?
it makes sense. I mean, I hadn't thought that far, because I use adversarial agents a lot now. I really love them, but it does mean I can do it very effectively because I spend so much time planning. So because I spend so much time planning, I can tell the agent, now verify that whatever we built matches. And every single time there's something. There's like it most of the time it just skips the tests. It just says, oh, this no needed for this test. That one would take too long. Like last time, it told me I'm not writing the test because it wouldn't be suitable for a unit test because it would take too long to run because it forks out to Git clone. I was like, yeah, but I would have liked to known that, that you are not writing those tests because of that, because they're all just missing. So the adversarial review always surfaces this stuff. It's always super interesting. So, but it does require, like you say, an evaluator to be very much aware about exactly what do you want. Otherwise, what can an adver what can an adversarial review give you if you don't have a clear definition of what you expect versus what you got,
Mm.
right?
Yeah, exactly. So, the other tip that Ash dropped, which I think had a chuckle in the crowd, was he was saying that when you write your, what do you call it, your specs or what you want, or your tips or your breadcrumbs in JSON, because for some reason he was saying that the agent will less likely override the JSON. And I thought that was a bit weird, but
Is weird because, like, I don't know. With me, I
or
want
less
the
likely ignore
agent,
the JSON.
and me to own the markdown together. I like the agent is constantly rewriting it, and I'm always really careful looking at how it rewrites it based on my instructions. So for me, markdown is pretty good. But maybe I'm.
Like nothing a good diff wouldn't catch, would it?
Yeah, I think it would be much harder for me to review the diff if it was JSON.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that's a bit of a weird step.
Let me talk about the pedantic one, which I thought was really interesting. So there's the CEO of Pedantic, Samuel, I can't remember his surname. I love to see the guys like this. He was very kind of inspired. He's like the alpha geek, in my opinion. He's the CEO of a company. I think Pedantic companies has got, I don't know how, if it's doing well, but like it's great to see the CEO like obviously hands-on coding the demo and giving the presentation. And anyway, I just love to see a CEO who knows his stuff. And then he presented a framework, an AI observability framework, where essentially you, the demo I thought was pretty cool. It basically uses a scan technique to sort of refine the prompt. So basically you can go, it picks the best things of the prompt and sort of has like an agent to sort of find a better, or try different other prompts. And then it has like, 100 cycles. And then you have like a golden test set. You have a test set to say like what the right answers were. So then it's able to change the prompt so that the prompt gives better and better and better results with high accuracy. I thought it was super cool, but of course I asked the question like, if there's a new model, isn't this all this money spent going to waste? And he said yes, but like in certain use cases, like where things need to be a bit more accurate, or deterministic is the wrong word, but like when you want
Like
your
formally
prompt accuracy,
validated.
if you want your prompt to be, instead of 90% accurate, 99% accurate, this is the way to do it, or this is one approach to consider. And I thought it was fascinating because I did it, you do start from like a stupid prompt, like find the family relations of these politicians, and then once you thrown it into this GAN harness, you have a much more involved prompt, which has all those words like carefully select and it has all the steps. I thought it
Oh
was
yeah, that's one
fascinating
of
how
the
that
things I heard also
is.
about industry jargon. Ah, I remember when there was I saw some Twitter about design, because a lot of people like complain about AI design looks the same. You can load these Anthropic web design things, but ultimately the generated designs are not very good. And so there was this I think it's from the Google Stitch announcement when they talk about, because Stitch is really good at creating web designs now. And one of the UX designers at Google went through the procedures that he took to go from a mediocre web design to like a real expert level design, where he says, like, as a designer, we talk about this terminology, and this is a terminology you need to be familiar with if you want to manage the design created by a model to look professional and not look like slop. And I think it was also related to industry jargon, like being able to be precise by using the right terminology, because the models, they know, right? They've been trained all of it. It's just up to us. Like if we know the terms, we can then trigger the level of what do you say, quality that we will accept if we are familiar with it. But if we're not, we will just accept some low-level quality web design because we're like, okay, we know very basic stuff and this looks good enough, right? But if you're an expert web designer, you know all the trigger terms that basically the model knows, like, all right, we're talking about some serious professional web design here, and we're gonna make something that has the proper, what they call it, highlights and dark tones and whatever. This tweet was super interesting because I used to really like doing graphics and stuff when I was playing Counter-Strike, and I made my team's web page and a lot of websites. So I really used to love this, but I was just not that good
Yeah,
anymore at this
it is
point.
fascinating to think that you can drop a word and then it will the model will behave differently.
Oh,
Or,
absolutely. But it makes total sense, right? I mean, I was just having a call earlier with a it's actually an interesting story. We identified that in our Terraform workspace, we have quite a few dependencies, and sometimes cycles were created where something depends on something, and then that thing ends up depending on the previous thing. So we wanted to visualize our Terraform, with like remote state lookups, how this whole thing is connected, which is what I built the grid for, if you remember. Like the grid detects this stuff
I
and
was gonna say that,
visualizes it.
like, isn't that what Tokas is all about?
This is what the grid a separate tacos is for. It allows you to define your dependencies, but we have those dependencies in our Terraform config, and we're not rolling out the grid at the moment due to the fact that I'm part-time on that project. So I decided to just I have somebody new that came in, and I'm onboarding him in a very AI native way, asking him to do everything with AI, and he built something. And it's very funny because it the model knows an open source tool that maybe has, like, I don't know, 100 people, 100 stars, super low, and it has a website, and it has a feature that we don't use because I forked it. And when it builds something, it says it starts talking about this feature. And I went through the whole log. Like, is there any web search? Like, how did the model come to the conclusion that the feature is there without a web search? It can only be because it's somewhere in its corpus and it's inside its weights, I don't know how many billion parameter model this is, that it, knows that this particular open source project has that particular feature, which, we don't use. But how did it know? Like, you can ask it crazy things like, do people throw cats off towers in Belgium? And then they will go like, yes, there's this tradition in this city where people throw cats off a tower, and it's because after the winter they had too many cats, so they had to throw them down the tower. It's like, how the hell does it know this? I think we talked about this before.
Well, this cat thing, I've heard about it. I'm approaching my destination soon.
Me
The
too, baby. I just
last session I went to was one by Google DeepMind. And the one thing that I found, just you were mentioning, like, an AI native onboarding. So the way that they did it was like, okay, we're going to run through this example for this voice API, Lyria or something like this, and they asked the workshop attendees just to install a skill, and it worked pretty well. Like, there were people using anti-gravity. There's people using, like myself, using Claude Code. There's a surprising a lot of people using VS Code. But at the end of the day, almost everyone managed to create a proof of concept or whatever, like a demo using these Google APIs just via skill. And I thought to myself, wow, it's amazing, because no one wrote any code during this workshop, but everyone managed to produce an app in a way. So, but crazy times. It's just
Yeah,
amazing
I
that
think
like no
skills are
one's
really,
you don't need to
yeah,
type
are really
into
powerful.
an editor.
So,
Oh, I'm passing Westminster Abbey. This is where the king
now
gets
there's also
coronated.
this, people are talking about how amazing it is that what's Karpathy? He says he talked about something that he uses, a process, and he described it, and people really liked it, the idea. And then he said, look, if you want to build it, here's a gist. Give this to your coding agent and it will build a platform for you. And then people started raving, like, oh my God, he just did software distribution through a gist. Ah.
Yeah, or through a prompt. Okay, I need to get off this bus now. So you're gonna have to
He's not
excuse
the
me.
first one, right? I mean,
I'm gonna put me
Stripe
put me.
minions did the same thing.
Oh, the conference venue is right next to the Houses of Parliament. I can show you Big Ben in a bit. Got up at the
I know
wrong time.
Big Ben from the Edge of Tomorrow. You know Edge of Tomorrow? And dropped. So Edge of Tomorrow is a film with Tom Cruise where he is fighting an alien invasion, and they are actually at the part of the war where the humans lose, and they lose by taking London. So there's quite a few scenes of aliens invading London. And the plot of the movie is that every time one of the, well, the aliens have a capability of certain aliens resetting the time if they get killed, allowing a replay. It's kind of like a game. And for some reason, the main actor gets that skill. So every time he dies, he resets to the previous day whenever he acquired the skill of being able to reset. And why I watched it 6 times is because it's exactly like a computer game, you know, when you keep dying and then keep getting reset to until you execute the level perfectly because you can predict things that are going to happen. So
Oh, wait, are you just talking by yourself? You're like, oh, that's another thing that's a bit of a trend. Oh, there's a married couple here.
You mean somebody's talking
We're
already?
basically like before a recorded AI talk, like you go like, you saw that tweet. I think you shared it to me, like, and yeah, and with my the sales figures were on 3x, and then. Or something crazy, like you make some crazy statements, and then people join the call, and then when it summarizes, the headline is something insane, like
No, I didn't s I didn't share.
you talked about how the aliens landed, and and then you switch to some financials. Oh, yeah, can you see Big Ben over there?
Yeah, I see it. Nice.
So yeah, this is part of Spark. So. I'm assuming that when you were when I got disconnected there, you were just talking about some wild things,
Nah,
and
it
then
was
the
not too
actual.
wild. It was related to the fact that I only saw Big. Well, I don't. I've not. Maybe I've seen Big Ben in real life, but I most memorably for me is the scenes in the movie Edge of Tomorrow where Tom Cruise is
That
fighting
was a
alien
great.
invasion.
Is that the one he dies all the time, right?
Dies and resets. So I was just explaining
Yeah,
that
I really
aliens,
like
I
that.
think,
The female lead was great too,
she's
whoever she
South
was.
African, isn't she? Or is she
No,
Australian?
she's not sort of on that
Okay.
one. Yeah, I really like the because I was doing yoga at the time, and then there's a scene in the
Oh,
movie when
yeah.
she's doing yoga, and I thought, yeah, yoga, baby.
She's doing
Okay.
exercises in this training hall where it's like a simulation of. They're in these huge suits to fight, right? And so they have to get
Yeah,
used to it.
it's a super cool movie.
It's a super cool
I love it.
movie.
Yeah, great movie.
We were
Okay, well,
talking
I'm.
about something else.
Yeah,
You're
what were we
saying
talking
something
about?
about. Ah, yeah, software distribution through a gist. But it's not Karpathy who did this first, right? I mean, Minions from Stripe was also like, just point them at this blog and they'll build it. type of distribution.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But I couldn't help but think that, like, I think we had a blip with the internet, or the, called Anthropic was having some disruptions
Oh yeah,
earlier
they do a
in the
lot of
day
disruption.
yesterday.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but think to myself, like, you know, we think how cool it is that you can build something with a prompt. But of course, if you don't have that infrastructure in place, then,
But that's
you know,
why I
if you don't
think.
have like just imagine the future where this Mythos is amazing and it's able to do our work, and I'm like happily using it, like probably most people are. But the minute it gets taken away from me, it's like it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, we talked about this before, right? That's why people that are like doom prepping for the time that those A inference providers, whatever, due to war or whatever, are no longer able to provide the service, because I've been in countries where the service is not active and it's really painful. That's why, and now with Gemma from Google, people are, I mean, I'm reading very, very conflicting evaluations of it. People are like, oh my God, Gemma is really worse than Qwen. And some people are like, once you fine-tune it and you know how to set it up properly, Gemma is amazing, really good
What
for
is
coding
Gamma like?
tasks.
Is that like an open
Open
model or something?
weights model, yeah, like
Oh,
it's
okay.
on Hugging Face, so you can run it. I'm waiting for a big paycheck and buying like an M5. You know, Mac is. People always say like Apple was dumb. They don't have Apple Intelligence. Like their Apple Intelligence projects failed, but they really built great hardware where they make the bandwidth between the memory and the CPU so good that,
Yeah.
you know.
We were joking. There was some ex Apple people in that I was chatting to over lunch, and they were sort of joking that like Apple is so bad at AI, but they have the best hardware.
Yeah.
And right now their strategy seems to be, you know, pulling along either Google or OpenAI to get the best. Open to get the best model without them actually having to do anything, because I guess they have the cash or something. Because they haven't actually fully committed to using the Google model or OpenAI model in their products, for, allegedly.
Some people say it's because Apple has such a high reputation to uphold, but I mean that if like because the AI can fail so spectacularly, because of it being non-deterministic, and it could result in the product being in a very bad daylight,
Yeah.
like where it fails.
Yeah,
So that's why they haven't integrated it. But
he mentioned it. One of the ex-Apple people said, like, you know, they own the interface or they own the platform, so they are like in the best position, right? And we just observed inside the lunch hall, you know, most people are using iPhones, right? Okay, I gotta get this is the thumbnail here. This is the AI Engineer Europe thumbnail.
nice.
They had like a huge lobster out here yesterday.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. We put it as a
Don't know why
thumbnail.
I don't know why it isn't here today.
Somebody
Conference is
stole
happening
it.
today. Possibly. I
Some
don't even like
anti-AI.
I'm like, how did they get these huge lobsters? Is someone just traveling around with a fucking
It
lo
looks
with
like
a sorry.
Lego.
But how did they get a lobster here? These buildings all around here are just magnificent. I love them.
It looks like Ghent. I mean, if you go to city center Ghent, you have these massive, cathedrals and wide marketplaces, very similar to this.
So, hey, do you have a Riverside account? Because ideally, I could end this recording, and you could upload or finish editing these three clips. Because I'm gonna have absolutely no time today.
I have a Riverside account. I even have Pro for 2 months for free. And
Maybe I'll
but
try and invite you or
yeah,
something. I
try
don't
it.
know.
I don't know if it works if two people have different accounts. You mentioned that if I want to edit it, then it needs to be with a
Can you
C.
just send me your email or your login? Because I tried it
Yeah,
last time and it
it's my
said like this.
Gmail.
Okay, I'm gonna go in here and volunteer. I'm gonna be doing crowd control this morning. This is the way I scored entrance.
Have
Anyway,
fun.
it's gonna be a great day. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you.